Welcome back, I guess.
Kind of.
Not really. Nobody listens to this anyways. So, this is the intro. Well, I guess we're going to call this season three, even though nobody's keeping track. Welcome back. We ramble. I talk too much. I slur my words, and I get self-conscious about it, especially after the show and when I'm recording the intro. So, this week we talk about a script called Stoner, and it's basically two stoners and a third friend also there talking about a wacky conspiracy theory about the film Willy Wonka. Actually pretty decent dialogue, but we have some issues with it, as we do with every script, and then we go ahead and make our own multiverse with a whole bunch of fun stuff, and I actually like this quite a bit, but yeah, that's the intro. Thanks for listening, and I might use this as the outro, too. I don't know. I don't care. There might be an interlude. I don't know. Goodbye.
Yeah, my cat isn't even really a cat at this point. She's more of just, like, a furry alarm clock that takes up most of my bed and is constantly hungry.
Yeah, aren't we all, Kyle? Don't we all wish to be living that life? As you know, Emily recently got a dog, Walter, and he is delightful, but he just wants to be held like a little baby, and I love it.
Constantly?
Oh, constantly. I will...
Like a lap dog.
Oh, not just a lap dog. He wants to be literally held. Like, he wants to be coddled, and like...
Yeah.
And he's a German Shepherd lab mix, so he's not like a small little dog that wants to get in there. He's going to be a big old boy, and I really hope he keeps it. Keeps that, like,
that
spunk. Yeah. But I might start the podcast there. Right in the cat talk. So the podcast is back. I might take a screenshot to show that we both have mustaches to show progression of time. And I think, so we recorded, I think, three episodes that I never edited that I want to say that neither of us are proud of.
One and a half or maybe decent, but...
Yeah, but not enough to put it out.
Not our best work.
Yeah, so I think our last episode was when we were doing season 2, episode 1, with Peter Nuttall. That was when I was in Grand Rapids, so that was well over almost 2 years. No, a year and a half. But yeah, this will be the first one from Portland and from Kyle's new place. Like, everything's changed.
Yeah, I'm still in Grand Rapids, so it's like, and Grand Rapids is the size of, I don't know, a small neighborhood.
Yeah, it's like a third of the size of Portland.
Which Portland is like a quarter of the size of Detroit, so.
What? No, it's not. Yeah.
Is it really? It's a little, okay, it's like on, it's on par.
We have like 700,000 people in it.
Okay.
And I think Detroit's like a million or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah. Things have changed, but they haven't changed in a way.
My interpretation of Portland is it's just like this little magical like Narnia fantasy world where everybody's so cool and there's just like all these sweet donut shops and people are just outside and they're just like, hello, Mr. Markowitz, can I interest you in a little pretzel donut or something like that? And you're just riding bikes made out of sugar candy and LSD.
Yeah, there's a lot of LSD. Yeah.
I don't know why you're riding bikes on brick roads. It's not...
there's a lot of bikes, though. So you got that part down.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Portland's great and people are... I mean, before COVID... I did notice that people were, it was like going from Detroit to Grand Rapids. Everybody's just a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
But yeah, and everybody's super liberal, and that fits me at this point in my life, where I'm a borderline socialist at this point. Also, Kyle, you're wrong. I looked it up. Portland has a bigger population than Detroit, so.
What?
So suck it. So. But yeah, all the projects that me and Kyle have been working on in the last year and a half include some scripts.
Yeah.
I wrote a sh- me and Kyle wrote a short. Yeah, yeah, we both entered competitions that we did not win or place in the top 50, 60. I don't even know. I don't think we did very well.
Yeah, we have a podcast that makes us feel superior to other writers for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, no, that if there's any evidence that our log line couldn't be more accurate, now we have proof that it's too unaccredited, unawarded.
Our new photo for the podcast should just be the email saying, thank you for sending it in. You did not place. Yeah. But thanks for the $60.
Yeah. Yeah. We paid money to make sure that we didn't win. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that doesn't stop us from... I mean, I can't speak for you. You have so many different other creative projects that are outside of writing. But I myself have still been working on...
Yeah, what have you been getting up to? I mean, you tell me about some of the pilot. That's the one I know about. But besides that,
I'm still too cowardly to start doodling, and I wanted to start doodling because I recently read Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the graphic novel, like 3 times through, and I admire it because it's black and white. The art is good, but not amazing. But the storytelling and the characters are just so unbelievably fleshed out and just wonderful. That's something that I'm trying to emulate, but I just, again, I do not. Every time I grab my little pencil and I get my artist notebook, I develop Parkinson's, and then I find a million reasons and so many other things to do. So what I have done is I've written a pilot that Marky has helped me work on for like years.
Years at this point.
I realized that the pilot should take place in like a later episode or season. So now I kind of have to almost restructure this world from an actual beginning, which is something from the beginning I thought was worthless because I'm tired of TV shows holding people's hands. But in this case, you know, you learn a valuable lesson. I learned a valuable lesson that you should just start where it makes sense. So that's kind of what I've been working on, and now I'm 20 pages into that new script. And it's not that good. It's not in that stage where it's good. It's more or less where I'm just...
Don't sell yourself short. I really enjoy it. I think it's good. I think it's fun. And so does my girlfriend. And that, you know, and if that's... not the two people you want telling you that's good, and I don't know who you want. Besides the masses and other people who want to pay you to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, that original pilot I had too was definitely longer. It was definitely like 45 pages, and I'm trying to aim it for a 30-minute pilot. So I did end up cutting it down to like 38 pages, which for an animated pilot's pretty good because it's a lot of descriptions and a lot of characters and a lot of action lines that you have to include that you wouldn't necessarily include in a live action script. So I mean, I'm happy with that. For our competitions too, we had to write a couple spec scripts.
Mm-hmm.
What we do in the shadow spec script, I'm still very proud of.
Oh yeah.
That's something I could definitely go over again and rewrite.
That'd be fun.
But other than that, I mean, shit.
I mean,
nothing's been crazy exciting here. It's just been Michigan COVID, you know.
Yeah.
I
think you're selling yourself short. I really like that pilot. The What We Do in the Shadow script is really fun. I really enjoyed that. And then we also, I think last time we talked to, it's funny that we talk as if there's anybody listening, but like last time we talked to you, in terms of the people who we actually talk to about our creative endeavors usually listen. So it's like, we're not catching them up on anybody. On anything, yeah. Jeez. But since I think we did that Archer spec script that we both really liked, that one was awesome. We also started fleshing out one of my little babies, the Knockout Future. But that kind of stalled. So instead, I kind of aimed to write something a little out of me and Kyle's wheelhouse, which was a Disney style short, kind of in like a fantasy world, and all that stuff. It's called Is He, And it's probably my most proud project. So if there's literally anybody listening, if you want to read that, just let me know. Same with Kyle's. Like, at this point, we aren't some master gurus of anything. So if you want to read our stuff and judge our stuff and give us notes, please, please let us know. Which actually brings me to a good point. I should just sign into the email that we use, because there's a couple of people who've sent us scripts.
Yeah, and we never made good on that.
We don't make good on very much of anything. But
no. And it's unfortunate, too, because you went on Reddit, too. You sold our podcast, and some people were all for it, and other people were very apprehensive about it. Like, why would I send my stuff to you if you're not professional? We clearly stated we're not professionals. We're just offering them, you know, just free advice. In our opinion, you can take it or you can leave it. I don't know. But yeah, it feels bad, you know, kind of letting them down, that community.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that I'm a contributor. I've read a couple scripts on there and I've given feedback to a couple, but I'm not like a prominent member. I would say I'm more of a lurker that just likes reading.
Oh, definitely.
Usually on days where it's just like, I just wake up and I know I'm in a bad mood and I know I don't want to get writing done. I'll do that. I'll just go online, go to that screenwriting or read my script, subreddit, and then just pick a random one that kind of interests me. And
good on you. Do you comment on like their stuff?
I've only commented maybe on like two or three that I've thoroughly kind of read through and saw some problems or saw some like potential that I could see in it, but for the most part there are some that are just like clearly still in the very rough early stages that like commenting just wouldn't like do me or them any benefit, I guess.
Sure.
Because I think it's just that the answers that I'm providing are just kind of vapid and obvious,
right?
And then there are just also some like scripts that are so good that just make me feel so that I don't want to comment. I don't want to give them. I don't want to brush their ego. Fuck you.
And be like, yeah, this is great, awesome, cool.
Yeah, great, great job. What do you want me to say about it? Yeah. I enjoyed every page. It had me on the edge of my seat, dying of laughter. Or something.
Is this what you wanted? You wanted me to feel shitty about myself?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to give them that satisfaction. Yeah, I don't know. It just feels good to be back.
Yeah, it does. It does feel good to be back and to do something like this. We also have another project that we're doing, but that's a secret. And if you can find it, and if you can throw it at us or throw it in our faces somehow, let me know, because that'd be fun. But let's be honest, nobody listens to this. Who's going to listen to one that we actively don't want people to listen to?
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. So.
And it's kind of taken from that business model of like small building. You can't occupy it, so people think that they can be one of the few people in there.
Yeah, exclusivity, I believe, is what we're going for. All right, I haven't read any of these. I've read them, but it was literally 2019 when I read them.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to like just take a punt on one of these that might not even be a comedy one.
Yeah.
But yeah, because there's one that was like. Yeah, I remember. There was one that was like, oh, this one said it's a comedy one, but it's 32 pages long.
Yeah.
And I'm not really ready to take that on, personally. Stoners, eight pages. Which brings us to our episode, I guess. We are going to read and perform Stoners, written by Miles Trahan. Shooting draft was August 16th, 2008. So I hope it is dated. all right. Let me throw a hit marker down.
Yeah.
I remember how to do that.
Do you want to be Ricky or Dale?
Up to you, homeboy.
Yeah, I feel like whoever's Ricky should they shouldn't read the action lines, because it seems like all of Ricky's lines are just like 8-line paragraphs, pretty much.
Yeah, I will read the action lines, and you want to be Ricky? I'll read the action lines and be Dale?
Yeah.
Be Elias?
Yeah, you can be. I'll be
You can be Eliash, like the Devils player back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. I love that obscure reference.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Sure, our listeners do too. Big, big New Jersey Devils fan.
Yeah, everybody was. Martin Brodeur, dude. Yeah. Hell yeah. All right. Anyways, Stoners are in by Miles Strahan. Shooting draft. That's fun. August 16th, 2008. Interior, Dale and Eliash. It's just flat. Living room. Afternoon. Extremely close. On the business end of a freshly rolled joint being lit. Inhale. Exhale. Wider now. We're in a large, smoky living room, sparsely inhabited by furniture. Three guys, Dale, Eliash, and Ricky, all in their late teens, pass the joint around, taking hits, already deep in conversation.
Bullshit. I grew up with Willy Wonka, man. That's been, like, my favorite flick since I was a kid. I've seen it fucking hundreds of times, and not once has this bullshit theory of yours ever fit. Wonka's good old-fashioned wholesome family fun. Always has been. No bullshit. Hidden agendas. No nothing.
You're kidding, right? You honestly don't see it at all?
No, I don't. You're just imagining this shit, dude. Believe me.
Dale scoffs at this.
Not to mention,
hi. Oh, sorry, you're Eliash.
That's Eliash. Eliash, he's just going to chime in every once in a while.
Oh. Hi? Sure. Jaded? Not in a million fucking years.
Are you serious? Just going to sit here and listen to this shit? Well, I hate to say it, but Eliash, sorry. Oh, fuck you, pal. Fuck the both of you. This is some stupid, hell, borderline retarded, that's a dated word, just on the script, shit right here.
Says you.
Damn right, says me. The only one around here with any sense, I guess.
Chill, dude. Why don't you just let the guy speak? Oh, sorry, that's Eliash again. Jesus.
Yeah,
Christ.
I guess you should just be Eliash.
Yeah, I'll be Eliash.
Seems like he always comes after Ricky. Yeah. All right, back. Why? So he can try and sell me the idea of that Willy Wonka, a flick I've loved since before I can even remember, is some dark, fucked up story about Satan shepherding kids, mind you, into the underworld? Sending him down to hell or whatever? He's concocted in this ridiculous mindfuck of a theory he's got?
How's that Kool-Aid there, Ricky?
Go to hell, Dale. Just because I don't buy this crap like your boy toy over here.
Hey!
Doesn't make me a mouth-breathing asshole, okay?
Maybe not.
Okay, thank you.
But it does. However, make you make you incredibly fucking naive. Gluttony, greed, pride, and rape. Wrath. Picking up right where I left off. Mispronouncing words because I no spell good. Picked off one by one in Satan's chocolate factory. That interlude part was not in the script.
You're fucking delusional.
He pauses for a moment and takes the joint. Eliash holds out to him, takes a hit, then slowly eases into.
Augustus is gluttony and Baruka is sloth, I'll buy, but the others, Violet with pride, Mikey with wrath, that's a hell of a stretch you're asking me to make.
Mikey Trevi, I'll give you, maybe. The kid just loves his TV a bit too much, but Violet oozes pride.
Pride? He spends a whole flick snapping bubblegum. And excuse me for throwing a monkey wrench in your sick little fantasy here, but if all those other kids represent four of the deadly sins, what's Charlie's deal? I mean, he's got to represent something too, right?
Charlie? He doesn't represent anything, as far as I can tell. It's been a while since I saw the flick, but Charlie always seemed like an alright kid to me.
Well, yeah, he's the fucking lead. He's got to be a Boy Scout, but if Mikey TV is all about wrath and Violet's all about pride, oh my god, I'm just rereading the same spot. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Cut that part out. I'm sorry, you're gonna have to do a lot of editing for that.
That's fine. They like it unedited. They yeah. like it all which, shitty.
Which part are we even at?
Yo, you're reading the right part.
Oh.
It just it kind of repeats itself.
Yeah, oh my god, wow. Holy This is just for you specifically to edit, Marky. I am going to hit this part in 3, 2, 1. Well, yeah, he's the fucking lead. He's got to be a Boy Scout. But if Mikey TV is all about wrath, Violet's all about pride, Charlie's got to represent something. Otherwise, what's Satan want with a kid? From the looks of it, he's done nothing worth taking a trip down under for.
Of course not. That's why he wins. Why he gets to fly around with Wonka and Grandpa Joe in the big fucking balloon at the end of the flick. Out of all the kids, Charlie's the only one that gets off scot-free. Hell, even when Wonka disqualifies him, he won't give up the Heart of Gold Act.
Yeah, I remember. He leaves the Gobstopper on Wonka's desk instead of bringing it to Slugworth. That's how he passes the final test.
And thus, Charlie gets to continue tasting this sweet air of freedom. They get to enjoy purgatory and all the fire and agonizing pain that goes with it. A long, silent beat. Ricky tries to wrap his head around this concept, but for the life of him, he just can't. Elias, meanwhile, sits back and enjoys what's left of the weed.
You're a sick motherfucker, you know that.
I have my moments.
One last question. And I know I'm not doing any good humoring you, but I just gotta ask. If Wonka really is Satan, and the kids really are what you say they are.
Sinners.
Whatever. Then why is he punishing them? Shouldn't he be, oh, I don't know, punishing Charlie for being the Boy Scout and letting the other kids run free? Spread their sin across the globe and whatnot?
You would think so, but no. You know what Satan means?
Yeah, he's the dude down under with the goatee and the pitchfork. As a thing for fire.
But do you know what the name Satan actually means?
No.
Prosecuting attorney. A beat. Elias cracks up a little and quickly tries to compose himself and resumes putting on a straight face.
Bullshit.
God's honest truth. And as a prosecuting attorney, it's his job to pass judgment on us and, when it comes time to, punish the wrongdoers as he sees fit. As Wonka, Satan is tempting these kids with his delicious treats to cast moral decency aside and indulge themselves to completely succumb to their earthly desires. And when they do, think Augustus, Varunka, Violet, and Mike. He hits them with the internal damnation, retribution. You could call it for their earthly sins.
So then, by that fucking ridiculous logic, taking a swig from a river of chocolate is a sin? As is, gasp, chewing fucking gum? What kind of asshole sends a kid to purgatory for chewing gum?
Same kind of asshole that wears a purple blazer, I imagine. Another long beat. The joint is now burned down practically to embers. Unsalvageable. Salvageable. Hey, I got it the first time.
Yeah, I still don't buy it.
I never asked you to buy it, Ricky, just to hear me out.
Biggest load of shit I've ever heard. You still on his side?
Me? I'm on no side. But fuck all this anyways, man. We got bigger problems. Like what? We're all out. A beat. Then, in unison. Aw, shit. Fade to black. Alright.
Okay.
I was honestly expecting it to be not worse, but like dumber and like,
yeah.
It's not that it's bad, it's that it's, it, does it have a story? You know what I mean? Like, that's my only thing, is like, it's a funny conversation. Yeah. It would be fun to put that into a, like, movie to, like, explain who these characters are.
You know what I mean? That's kind of the feeling I got, is this person saw, or just got done watching a Tarantino movie marathon,
yes,
and then was like, hell yeah, dude, I'm gonna just spend the first 15 pages just talking about something that isn't necessarily relevant to the plot, but then is just foreshadowing for what the characters are gonna do later on.
Mm-hmm.
Just a side note that I need to let the audience know, when I started the script and I made sure I got a lighter to, you know, make it seem like it's a little bit more real.
Yeah, you're an actor.
Placed the lighter a little too close to my face, and I'm pretty sure I burned a tiny little bit of my mustache because that lingering burning hair smell is still very much here, present in my room at the moment. So I, whenever the Oscars come a knocking, you know, I will be waiting for my award for my incredible method acting.
What? You're a hero.
But anyway, back to the actual script. The idea of taking a harmless movie like Willy Wonka and then trying to find this deeper satanic meaning of it, I think is pretty interesting. I just think the tonality between the two characters was almost indistinguishable. You could just cover the names of the characters and you wouldn't be necessarily able to tell them apart besides the fact of their opposing views on Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just because this was written 13 years ago. Just the constant swearing, I guess. I guess that's realistic.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't notice the swearing that much, but I did notice that it was usually swearing to prove a point instead of using swearing, like, tactfully, I guess would be a way to say it.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I understand both these characters have their, I don't know, they're going to have their viewpoints, so the dialogue is going to be a little bit longer than it typically should be, but I think they could have made it a little bit more succinct and have it flow a little bit easier, because there was that moment that the listeners won't be able to hear because we had a huge blunder, because I had a moment where I thought I reread the same line, but it turns out it was a completely different line that just followed almost the same exact pattern. I'm pretty sure it was on, like, page 4.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And you don't need the exact proof of it. But, yeah, the fact that they repeated some things, I don't know why. Like, there wasn't a reason to repeat it, and it repeated it so quickly. It wasn't like, oh, let's bring it back to the story kind of thing.
Yeah.
My biggest quarrel was that I think that this guy got the same shit that the Good Place script that we did got, that he accidentally made the Good Place before the Good Place, but it wasn't as good. But this guy accidentally made that YouTube video that was like, did you know that Willy Wonka is actually the prequel to Snowpiercer? I didn't even really realize that was Chris Evans, but I was happily surprised when I was like, oh, yeah, cool, he's doing dope shit. Yeah. But you have to watch Snowpiercer, and have you seen that video that I'm talking about?
No, it's come across my YouTube suggestions constantly. It knows me, the algorithm. It knows all of us. I've seen the social dilemma. AI is already over the world and knows everything about every one of us.
Yeah, thank God too. But yeah, I kind of share the same thoughts on this script as you do, where it's like, it's not bad, the dialogue isn't bad, and the characters are believable, but it kind of makes it seem like this might just be how this dude talks. And I mean, so he just wrote himself twice kind of thing.
I'm sure it was just trying to rip from like more edgier directors, i.e. Tarantino.
It definitely had a Tarantino vibe to it.
Yeah.
Without the violence.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. What do you want to do to it?
See, that's the thing with these like meandering stories that have like no clear cut beginning, middle, and end. And they're, again, it just feels like an intro for a movie. Like,
it
I
does.
I don't understand if this was a short, like, it has no mystery. Like, the comedy isn't—it's not a pure comedy.
It's not so funny where you're like, "Oh shit, that's a really funny scene."
Yeah.
I know. It doesn't. It doesn't do much for us in that way. I mean, last time that we had a script that we didn't—that just had three characters, didn't know what to do with it. We had them murder everybody, and that was pretty fun. That was like my favorite one. And we can just keep the characters and just do something completely off the rails and try to incorporate some popular movie.
Yeah, yeah. We could stick with the Willy Wonka thing too, I guess, if we really wanted to. My mind is just, it's so raw because we haven't done this in so long.
Well, yeah, we're warming back up into it, Dad. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So my idea for a rewrite would be like, you can have this debate, but let's do it in like a futuristic setting or something where like VR is so advanced that you could just pop on your VR headsets and just be like, here, we're going to go to Willy Wonka's place right now. You're going to tell me right now, in a first-person experience, that this guy is not safe or something like that.
All right, yeah. We'll spare you the research and the hour. We might not even time ourselves. Fuck you. This whole part's going to be all chopped up. So if you get to this part somehow and you survive, then bravo. But this is when we're going to do our research and write our fucking script. So, all right.
Okay. So, cool. Neat. Thank you. Yeah. It's great.
Okay. So, Kyle, you want to explain what we did here?
Yeah, I do. In fact, this is me doing it. I'm in the process of doing it. I'm forming the words in my head and then I'm going to say them with my mouth. So with the script stoners, you know, it's already, you know, bulletproof from start to finish. That's right. I'm picking on people who can't speak up for themselves right now. That's right. I'm not afraid. I'm not here to make friends.
Everybody knows comedy is about punching down.
It is. That's what we all do. So what we did, as is tradition on the M&G versus scripts, we kind of just abandoned this entire story and then just kind of did our own thing. We didn't follow our guidelines or rules that we're supposed to follow. We have
pretty strict guidelines and rules, don't we, Kyle? We built out a pretty, you know, anybody can do this podcast because we built it out tight.
Yeah, yeah. This is, you cannot imitate this podcast whatsoever, anywhere. Now, I guarantee you, go look anywhere. What, are you going to go to script? You're going to go to script notes? Those sellouts who have actually made it in the biz?
Sellouts who carefully research and
are very knowledgeable and have amazing insight on the whole business? No. Come on.
Anyways, back to the good podcast that you're listening to.
Yeah, with quality content and soothing non-monotone voices. So I don't, like, I honestly don't even know where this idea even sprung from, because our original idea was to find a film theory that is like so out there that we can kind of imitate the two original characters having this debate of like, blah, is Willy Wonka the predecessor of Snowpiercer, or so on and so forth, or like is Jar Jar Binks an actual Jedi or Sith Lord or whatever and stuff like that. We couldn't really find anything that like we're both super knowledgeable and passionate about that's like a conspiracy for movies. So what we did is, and let me preface this with, I have no animosity or like unreserved feelings about Pixar or Netflix. They just so happened to be the punching bags when we were like freehandedly typing away this script.
Hey, we're punching up.
And that's okay. We're punching up. We're taking shots at the establishment because that's what counterculture is all about. Yep, that's right. So instead of the dynamic that we kept was two characters talking about movies, and that's
kind of had the same voice.
Yeah, kind of have the same voice, but let's be honest, I think our dialogue's a little bit better.
Don't tell them.
I'm sorry.
Anyways, let's get into what we actually did.
Yeah.
What we actually did was basically had them be in a pitch meeting with Pixar and then a pitch meeting with Netflix. And so I think that's all that we're going to say that we did.
Yeah.
We'll just get right into it.
Yeah. Do you want to be the action line too, I guess?
Yeah, I'll be the action line. And okay. Which ones are you?
I'm producer one for Pixar and Netflix, and then I'm Gerald, and then you're Brad, and then producer two, and I guess secretary.
I'll be secretary
for the one line.
Secretary vibe.
Yeah, we're not skilled at giving out names. That is something I am so unbelievably awful at. And yeah, it should be something simple. You should be able to. There's millions of combinations of names that sound believable, and I can't think of any. I go Harold. I'm like, I've never met a fucking Harold. Like, not a real name. Gerald.
I don't think Harold's
exist. That's a real name.
I have met a Gerald.
Yeah.
All right. Interior. Pixar. Headquarters. Day. This is titled. We don't have a title. Two strapping young gents. Gerald, 30s, hot but doesn't know it. And Brad, late 20s, hot and knows it. Sits in the waiting room. A Pixar producer exits their meeting and is talking on his cell phone.
Well, tell them we need something new, something fresh. What's the life of a preteen training bra like? Or the shoes of tomorrow's next basketball star? See, now we're getting somewhere.
Mr. Producer, your 2 o'clock is ready. He holds up a finger to him. He's not done on the phone, even though he left the privacy of his office, giving off the impression as if he was ready to listen to someone else. This producer also harbors plenty of I don't know my wife's birthday vibes.
Love it. Let's get Ryan Reynolds or Owen Wilson on it. Hangs up the phone. Hello, do you two need anything to drink?
Gerald and Brad nod in a no fashion and follow him into the room. Interior, producer's room day. Another producer sits in the room tapping away on his phone.
This is number two. At Disney Pixar, we've transcended the need for names. So you have the latest blockbuster, I see. Here at Dixonar, we have simple guidelines we follow. Protagonist is obscure, like a snail, and wants something it can't do, like go fast, or a rat wants to cook, or an inanimate toy wants to live. This is Gerald speaking. Well, we don't want to waste any time. Okay, where is the future of cinema going?
Away from progressive narratives. You've done it all. A movie about a red-haired white woman. A movie about two northern white women. A movie about an obscure yellow blob that you were later forced to turn into a black guy due to the public's outrage. Your magnum opus.
Until now, let's face it, new stories are scary. This is Hollywood, baby. The pioneer of leftovers. The crusaders of saturation. The purveyors of regurgitation.
All right, calm down, G. The point is that making new stories and new characters that we all really care about is tough work. Even if you put Chris Pratt and Tom Holland with a pair of pants. You know what's easier than giving depth? Team movies. Movies with teams. With people you already did the hard work for.
That's what we're here for. To take the heart characters and mash them into the biggest three-part movie blockbuster that Pixar fanboy.
And fangirls.
Dreams.
Fade in. A comet carries across the night sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Buzz Lightyear driving Lightning McQueen.
Like Ratatouille, that's right.
Along with Hiccup and Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon.
Let me stop you right there. I'm producer number one. Love the enthusiasm, don't we too?
Oh, yeah.
May I ask which famous directors you guys are related to? Because we don't see shit pitches like this anymore. I mean, come on.
Well, you didn't let me finish. What you don't understand is I'm building the Avengers for kids who likes Pixney. Producer number two. Kids already love Avengers, though.
Exactly. We're here to give you that market with our Pixar Multiverse Endgame. Is producer one. We own the Avengers. Exactly. I mean, right. So, anyways, fade in. I mean... As producer one, I mean, this is Pixney. We're trailblazers of compelling all-age medium of 3D animation. You think we're that desperate for content that we'd sell out all of our beloved?
Match cut to interior Netflix Studios day. Netflix producer one.
I mean, this is Netflix. We're trailblazers of the compelling all-age, all-gender, all-everything. Of course, we love this.
Gerald and Brad share similar ear-to-ear grins.
I can see it now. Will Arnett from Arrested Development next to Will Arnett from BoJack Horseman going up against Will Arnett from Flaked alongside Jason Bateman Jason Bateman from Arrested Development, and Jason Bateman from Ozark, and who can't forget their quirky multiracial sidekick, Allison Brie from BoJack Horseman, next to Allison Brie from Glow, in contention with Allison Brie from Horse Girl.
Netflix producer too. Can we really do this? Will the audience buy it?
This is Netflix. How many times do I have to repeat this? If the audience believes a group of middle school kids in a small rural town in Indiana can outsmart the CIA, they'll believe anything.
This is Brad now. Did I mention it takes place after Arrested Development season 4?
As Gerald, everybody's favorite season.
And it will blend into Ozark. But what they find in the swampy forest of the Ozarks. Netflix season. Netflix producer too.
That's you. Oh,
stop. I can only take so much hype in one pitch.
You're right. I'm Netflix producer one. It's too hype. So hype, we'll have to cancel it after its second season. Can't have production companies get fair pay and benefits, am I right?
Netflix producer too. But it'll gather such a cult following, it'll be crowdsourced to the point that we wouldn't even have to finance it. It's a win-win. My God, you two are fucking geniuses. Wait. You haven't pitched this to anybody else, though, have you? Sure. Right now. Just Yahoo.
Yahoo? Consider them a Netflix original.
Brad, Gerald, and both producers jump in the air and collectively high five. High four, if we're being technical. And, you know, this pitch is a freeze frame. Fade out. And see.
This is the gripping, amazing, tight screenwriting that you've all just been waiting for the past 2 years, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, there was a break, I get it. And there's a lot of fans out there. I'm surprised we didn't get crowdsourced and put on Yahoo at the same time.
I know. I'm surprised I didn't scroll past something on Reddit saying that, you know, Spotify is being unfair and not compensating us enough or something.
We're basically the Venture Bros of the podcast world.
Oh yeah, easily.
Anyways, back into the reality. I like this. Reading through it, obviously the hiccups that, you know, you come to love with M&G verse script, that where I can barely produce words that Kyle wrote, and I forget who's talking, and we don't have distinct enough character voices, so we have to say who the character is, that kind of stuff. You love that stuff.
Yeah, but and who can forget the amazing performances of Pixar producer 1 or Netflix producer 2?
Hey, you made that story tight, dude. You said we don't need names here. This is Disney Pixar. Well, and also, creativity ends at doing Disney Pixar. We went Pixar, Disney Pixar, Dixney, Pixney, and then we went, fuck it, we'll just repeat it again.
Yeah, exactly. I know. And it's, I don't want to punch down and say, like, this is because of, like, the lack of material that we got from the last script.
It's not. Don't use that excuse.
It's not. I think this is just, like, our warm-up to get back into the game of quick, like, non-attached
quick and dirty
stories. Because, like, the fun part about this was, like, I'm not going to, like, pitch this anywhere. This isn't my magnum opus. Like, I can just write it, and I can just be off the cuff and just kind of glib about certain things that I'm not even like passionately angry about. I mean, sure, I voiced my opinion about how contrived and banal Stranger Things is and how overhyped it is, but that's like a small blight. Like, I love Arrested Development and I love BoJack Horseman and I love Glow. However, I can see the low-hanging fruit of people being upset over Netflix greenlighting a lot of just under average shows, and it's a super easy target to pick Netflix out of all things too, but still I thought,
well, if we were going to do something difficult we wouldn't be doing this podcast.
I know
yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It was something fun that it's more like a warm-up because we haven't done this in a while, and every time we do write it's something that we care about, and this, not that we don't care about it, it's that it's quick and dirty and it's done, and once we're done with it we rarely go back and touch it. Which I think is good for any writer to just like write,
yeah,
just to write and be creating, I guess.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me too is because like I've been kind of holed up in my room just writing and rewriting a pilot and stuff like that. Just reading the dialogue out loud with somebody too. Just something that I wrote like an hour ago, didn't rewrite, didn't mull over like how would this person say this or anything, and just said what I was thinking, and then, you know, we perform it, you know? And that's something that's almost invaluable. Like I can't place value on it because it's just so important and vital to becoming better in a sense. And
it like, makes me feel like a better, like creative as a whole.
Yeah.
I do stuff like
definitely,
this.
Definitely.
Which, I mean, we talk about it a lot, me and you,
mm-hmm.
Just get out and make something, do something. And mm-hmm. it's really funny that we say that a lot and we know that's how you do stuff.
Yeah.
And we don't live by that at all.
No, we
until we do stuff like this.
Yeah. We write a billion scripts. We sort of film some of them and then never finish it.
Hey, we finished one.
Yeah, it's true. We did finish one.
Yeah.
You and finished honestly, it. You're doing all the work too. I'm just strictly just, I write. That's it. Can't.
You're,
old dog can't learn new tricks. Can't learn editing.
We're going to teach you. We're going to teach you. We're going to teach you how to edit.
If you want to join our then, Patreon and crowdsource me getting editing skills or something,
I'll
that would
learn
be very
how
welcome.
To edit from somebody who doesn't know how to edit that well.
That'd be fun. That's almost like a podcast where people who don't know how to write teach people how to write. Very familiar.
Yeah, I know. You about hit it right on the nose there, Cal. But what I was going to say is this one would be one that would be A, super easy to film.
Yeah.
And I think it would be super fun to film.
Yeah.
And if you flesh it out just a little bit more and keep it nice and short.
Yeah.
Like this could be a lot of fun. And yeah. I was also thinking like this should be something that we film.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It'd
yeah.
be super easy to.
Yeah.
But we probably won't because Kyle refuses to come visit me during a global pandemic where he should be risking his life to come to Portland.
Yeah, for the art.
That's, yeah, and so.
Yeah, I'm just a
please
poser.
Send hate mail his way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I love
reading that stuff.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to do more of these. And honestly, yeah. we talked for a large portion before the
mm-hmm.
before the script, and mm-hmm. I don't think we really need to get into anything else after the script.
No. And like listening back to it, because I narcissistically went back and listened to a lot of our episodes, and things I need to work on is I need to project my voice a little bit more. I need to stop laughing at my own shitty jokes. If
no,
I laugh,
don't
I
stop
to,
doing
I
that.
I need to do it silently because my laugh is annoying. And the last thing I need to do is, holy smokes, I think I just forgot it.
I've heard from people that they love when you laugh at your jokes or laugh in general. They say it's infectious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't stop doing that.
Yeah.
That's one of the few things that we got compliments on.
Your mom is always too kind to me, though.
I know. She is.
But yeah, that. And then I guess just in the later episodes, I found myself enjoying it more because I put on more of a performance, or I don't know, exaggerated character voices a little bit too much, which I want to carry on with me because
I have a hard problem doing that. I want to be present in the moment and I just don't.
It's tough. It's
get really, into the characters as much as I should.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm in an apartment alone. Nobody can hear me.
Yeah.
I should just fucking dive into it.
Being an actor, I had a lot of respect before I even started writing, but after writing, I have so much respect for actors. And 100%, like the way that they can just control and manipulate their emotions constantly for even bad writing is incredible. It's
yeah, and you're a bit of an actor yourself. We have our own short that will be produced somewhere, probably on my website.
Maybe
probably a link.
Maybe you've heard of it, Netflix.
Yeah, anyways, we got greenlit on Netflix, so
yeah, we just pitched the entire Netflix cinematic universe.
Yeah.
And like yeah, that's something too, like I like cinematic universes, like I'm not even a hater on that whole idea, and I like
me too. I
understand it's kind of a money grab, but at the same time I like expansive storytelling with a multitude of like diverse characters and like perspectives. It's just
that's another thing. I like have no ill blood against Netflix or
like
Pixar.
None
Pixar.
Of these things I have no animosity towards whatsoever.
well, we got to make jokes, and yeah. we're not creative enough to do it without, you know, punching at people. So
yeah,
this is what you get.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're going to end the episode because sounds like a natural ending. Cal, do you have anything? Do you have your last words, your famous last words? Not because I'm going to kill you, but usually you have a little bit.
Sure. I guess we could just end it with stuff that we've digested, whether it's like a new TV show or like a book or something. As I stated earlier on, I'm a huge fan of Scott Pilgrim versus the World. My younger brother, who's been kind enough to lend it to me for like the past 6 months, even though the video games come out and he's playing that religiously and desperately wants him back, I'm still holding on to him because I just like, oh, I gotta read it a fourth time. I don't, blah blah blah. But Brian Lee O'Malley, the author and creator of it, also has another graphic novel called Seconds that is also very delightful. It's a very short read, and it's basically just about this girl in her late 20s who owns a restaurant, who's trying to open up a second restaurant, but she's being sabotaged by this spirit that sort of looms over her original restaurant, and her restaurant is also where she lives and stuff like that. It's a very simple story, but it's told very wonderfully, and it's very reminiscent of Scott Pilgrim in all the good ways, and not in the ways of just like this writer's only one dimensional and he can only do one thing. So I highly recommend that if any libraries are open, or if you can afford the $20 or whatever the fuck it costs on Amazon or anything. Super fun read. Good for all ages and such. That's pretty much
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I love, I think we should start
Seconds.
A new thing.
Again, it's called Seconds.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm going to call this our third season. So on our third season, we're going to end every episode with one thing that you should go check out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Kyle, I love that with the book. I need to read the Scott Pilgrim one. Mm-hmm. I love the movie, but I haven't read the
yeah,
my voice cracks, the cartoon.
Yeah.
The graphic novel.
Yep.
Mine would probably be I just got done watching Search Party. Loved fucking series.
I still need to start that.
Another fun one. But you know, it has the twist, and I think it's done really well, and it's easy to watch, but also it's not like bad TV. I don't know. I don't know how to explain. I just very much enjoyed it. Not much more I can say on that. She might be included in our Netflix world, by the way, too. Maybe from Arrested Development. But my other one, going more on the cartoon, Scott Pilgrim-esque, I would say Infinity Train.
Yes.
If you haven't watched Infinity Train on HBO Max, get into it.
That, so good.
That show is awesome. Three seasons, and it's so easy to watch. I've been so sad ever since Adventure Time went away. Yeah. Even though they are giving us 45-minute blocks, which are quality in my opinion, Infinity Train kind of filled that hole for me, and I wish they went for 25 seasons because I think there's a lot to explore in Infinity Train, and the idea of it is so fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Thanks for listening. I guess
if you got to this point,
yeah.
Thanks, Emily.
Yeah.
Thanks, Masson.
Thanks, Mom.
Maybe my mother.
Yeah. Thanks, Moms. Oh, boy.
All right. Bye, Kyle.
Bye, Ryan. I rode my bike to the pier in downtown, up the Ave and East Main back to Midtown. With one eye out for cars and one for sketchy massage parlors. Wonder if I should call it. Caught me in the taqueria reading Peter Pan. I feel less lonely here even if they don't understand me. When I ask for no Savoya, cause it upsets my stomach. There's a ghost that haunts my house at dinner, and here I'm hiding from it. Caught me in La Tapatia reading Treasure Island. It hasn't sunk it in yet, but when it does, it will be violent. But if Jim Hawkins and loyalists can fight off mutineers, maybe I can get over this in the next 6 or 7 years. Met up with no threat at the point of small but offshore day. The sign says be back in 15, which means you're gonna have to pay. And as we're zipping up, I went to TS, are you doing okay? And I know the response that I should give. How are our lives? And they're so good. But if you ask me if I'm playing, I tell you there's one big thing I've been saying, baby. Why would you just go and away like me?
was in our comedy. I find it pretty funny to end up lost and broke on the wrong side of my 20s. Now suddenly I'm shameless and can get myself to rally. I went solo to the fair to see Sublime with Frankie Valli. When I get home, I bum a smoke on my Kentucky neighbors. They feed me a bunch of tequila, tell me who on the block are tweakers. They ask me where my girlfriend's been and when will I propose. I shrug and tell them work tripping, well, who fucking knows. This is my life without her, and yes, there are some benefits. I do a lot more yard work, and I make a lot of other work. And I randomly not floss more, and I feel like I'm less sensitive. Hey, maybe I'm less sensitive. See, I'm making the best of this. Head up with 30 at the dredge on a big and soupy day. In the morning, Murray lay on water, silver sky was gray as we rode the river along the jetty. He asked, are you doing okay? I said, Jesus, you guys are really worried about me. I'm checking. I'm fine. These things take time. This thing shall pass or something like that. She lives in Santa Barbara now with the Angelines assistant. I thought she was my thrift store